Son of David, have pity on me, Lord. What is this encounter between a Jew and a Canaanite? The Son of God leaves the land of Israel, the land made sacred by God's election, whose people he was sent to redeem. And the Canaanite woman leaves her own land, the land of paganism, in contrast to Israel and its worship of the true God. It is nothing but our Redeemer's wisdom, who set out toward her and drew her out toward him. The eternal word going forth from the heavenly house of the Father, and the desperate Gentile leaving behind the land outside the covenant. This encounter is nothing but the revelation of God's mercy, moved by the sheer humanity and humility of this woman. For through her cries, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David," she transcends her pagan beliefs. She recognizes the eternal source of mercy. Her suffering and pain intensified by her love for her daughter, raise her soul above herself toward mercy, where she waits to embrace the one who can answer her misery. But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Utter silence. The face of mercy now seems to be the face of indifference, the face of rejection. Is her request not enough? Is he testing her faith, her persistence, her love? Perhaps her thirst for love will remain, even if she doesn't receive it. And yet, in this continual thirst for love, she remains in love. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Ouch. First, it was silence, and now this. Is it a double denial? Let's take a closer look. The disciples want to dismiss her, and so they ask Jesus to quickly give her what she needs. But he's not going to do that. He's not about to offer cheap mercy. And so he draws the woman deeper into faith. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But clearly, his mercy has no bounds. And so in her persistence, she gives him homage. Rather than crying out from a distance, she now knocks at the door of his heart, prostrating before him and quietly saying, "Lord, help me." She becomes like an empty vessel, lowered in humility, ready to receive whatever flows from the fountain of mercy. It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs. Jesus calls out her shamelessness and audacity, her status as a non-Jew, as one outside the covenant, has no claim to partake of the banquet. The table of God's kingdom does not belong to people like her. But is it really who Jesus is? Is it really what he came to do? Is his kingdom not destined to be filled with people from every nation? Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters. This reply changes everything. She now implores his mercy, not by claiming what she deserves, but by throwing herself entirely upon his mercy. She does not demand a place at the table. She does not claim an inheritance that belongs to Israel. She simply trusts that even the smallest portion of Christ is enough. Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the scraps. If you are truly the Son of God, then you are the Lord of all. And if you are the Lord of all, then you are also my Lord. Yes, Lord, even I, a mere dog, desire nothing more than to take shelter under you. And with that answer, she proclaims the words of the psalmist, "A day in your house is better than a thousand elsewhere. Even the scraps from your table are better than everything I have left behind." And Jesus, marveling at her faith, replies, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." Her perseverance has eventually paid off. She has humbled herself before God, and now God exalts her. "O woman, great is your faith. You have recognized and adored me. You have cast yourself entirely upon my mercy. And now receive what you have asked for. Let it be done for you as you wish." These words reveal something profound about our own spiritual journey. Sometimes Christ seems silent. Sometimes he seems distant. Sometimes our prayers seem unanswered. But the silence of Christ is not the absence of his love. It purifies our desire for him. Like the Canaanite women, we must persevere. We must humble ourselves. We must cast ourselves at his feet and say, "Lord, help me." She became before him as an empty vessel, nothing to claim, nothing to demand, nothing but faith. And because she emptied herself before him, she was ready to receive his mercy. Let us then persevere in our trials of faith, for even when Christ seems silent, he hears every cry of our broken hearts, and he prepares us to receive the overwhelming abundance of his eternal love.